Its CEO is still relatively new, but Ferrari fired on all cylinders in Q3, reporting almost 5% earnings growth, helped by strong sales of 8 and 12 cylinder models. The supercar maker made $316 million, up from $310 million the year before. The Italian firm has enjoyed a run of record earnings, driven by special edition models and a customizations program.
During economic uncertainty, how are countries protecting the integrity of their currencies? Well, they're turning to gold, of course. Central banks are putting more weight in gold as they strive to keep a hold on their own currencies. The latest to enter the growing list of countries increasing their gold holdings, Poland and Hungary. In September, Poland's central bank raised its gold reserves to the highest in at least 35 years. Hungary boosted its own gold reserves tenfold.
And an exclusive Reuters Ipsos poll finding Hispanic Americans are more fired up to vote this year than in 2014. And their enthusiasm surpasses the average likely U.S. voter. The poll also found that Hispanic voters are more than twice as inclined to support Democrats over Republicans in the House of Representatives. Reuters found 36% of Hispanic voters said they were certain to vote, up from 27% in the last congressional midterm elections in 2014.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It is November the 6th. And it's 5:11 in the morning. Thanks for being here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. It is Election Day in America. Polls already open in many states, soon to be open here in Illinois and in the Chicago area. We'll be paying close attention to that today. As a matter of fact, Mark Hamrick will be here first off this morning from Bankrate.com. We'll talk a little bit about the midterm election, how it might impact the economy and Wall Street. Mark is in our first segment this morning. A little bit later on, Rona Vera will be here from the Instant Alliance. If you've got a social media page, a lot of employers are screening you via that before you even make it into the door. She will have some tips for do's and don'ts of professional social media. And that'll be about 5:40 this morning here on The Opening Bell. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Dow futures are off about 0.25%. NASDAQ futures are off almost 0.5% this morning. S&P futures are down about 0.25% as well. Around the globe, markets are generally lower in Europe with the FTSE, the DAX, and the CAC all off about 0.5%. In Asia, markets are generally higher. The Nikkei is going to end the day up 1%, about 248 points. The Hang Seng is higher this morning. The Shanghai is lower. And oil is trading at $62.87 a barrel, which is down about 21 cents. A couple of stories before we begin this morning. First, the president suggesting that there may be an antitrust case coming against Amazon, Facebook, and Google. In an interview with Axios that aired on Sunday, the president says his administration isn't looking to hurt the companies, but they take antitrust rules very seriously. The president has frequently been a critic of Amazon and its CEO, Jeff Bezos, who also owns The Washington Post. Lowe's announcing yesterday it's closing 50 stores in the U.S. and Canada. The home improvement chain announcing it will close 20 underperforming U.S. stores and 31 in Canada early next year. Lowe's says in a statement it's shutting down the stores in 14 states and 5 Canadian provinces so it can focus on its most profitable stores and improve the overall health of its store portfolio. News on the Amazon HQ2 story. Yesterday we reported that Crystal City, Arlington, Virginia, in the running, final preps being made for that. Well, it appears that Amazon may split the prize between two cities, perhaps the Long Island, New York area and Crystal City, that Arlington, Virginia site, although Amazon has not confirmed any of that. We'll keep you posted. Chicago, of course, one of the finalists in that rundown for HQ2. It's election day, as we mentioned. Polls opening in the Chicago area and Illinois within the hour, probably. It's definitely at 6 o'clock. States, about 34 states right now, polls are open there. Mark Hamrick is a senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com and is with us this morning. Mark, as we look for the economic impact, good morning, by the way. If we look for the economic impact of this, what should we be looking for?
Well, good morning. Well, first we need to resolve the election. obviously there's a lot at stake, and you know, chief among the issues that we're watching are control of Congress, and of course the baseline assumption just about everywhere is that the House will flip and go Democratic, and that Republicans will retain control of the Senate, possibly even add a seat. But, you know, we've been fooled before, and despite the wave of early voting that we've seen all across the country with the turnout, quite impressive, quite amazing, people still need to go to the polls. So, you know, we need to get the day's questions resolved with respect to leadership of the Congress, which is, I think, the primary issue with respect to the business and economic outlook, reason being. Obviously, Republicans hold control of the White House and the Congress right now, and they've had, you know, pretty much their choice of legislative priorities to approve. Chief among them, of course, being the tax cut measure that benefited corporations and mostly wealthy individuals. And we'll see what happens down the road if Democrats take control of the House.
Mark, as we look at the landscape of this election, lots of people are surprised that with the economy doing so well, that the president's party could be in trouble in the midterm elections. Give us a little bit of a history lesson here. When the economy is generally good, how does that impact the president?
Well, first of all, I'd say, you know, the party in power is almost always dealt a setback in the midterm elections. That's number one. Number two, you know, we're living in unusual times, to say the least, and the president is a polarizing figure. That's not a surprise. He has sought in many ways through his own admission to make himself the issue in this campaign, and so be careful what you wish for. He has historically low approval ratings. With the polarization of the political climate that we see now, meaning very entrenched attitudes on both the right and the left, you know, basically people are very passionate and ensconced in their positions, and it's hard to find the middle ground these days. So I think many Americans, from a sort of looking at the issue standpoint, have effectively checked the box off of the U.S. economy, at least in terms of the job market, which we know is performing very strong. And it's interesting to me because while, you know, typically the talking point these days is the economy isn't the number one issue, the fact of the matter is that there are a variety of related issues that are top of mind, not the least of which include health care and immigration and trade. So these are all economically related, but people aren't necessarily looking for improvement in the job market because, you know, we're sort of at the level that we don't expect much more substantial improvement in employment simply because, you know, it would be hard to get there from here.
Mark, I know one of the issues that you brought up earlier in the program, trade, tariffs, if the hands of Congress change, or even if they're split, that's probably one issue that Congress is not going to be able to tackle, is it?
A way forward legislatively on that, but I think, you know, what you would want to watch is whether we continue to see dampening impacts on the economy by virtue of the trade disputes and the tariffs, and if the damage continues to spread. And we're getting, you know, we're seeing more and more signs of that, you know, places like the automobile industry, soybean farmers. We get commentary from business leaders about how their supply chains are disrupted, how they're facing higher costs. You could imagine that there could be bipartisan agreement in Congress to try to rein in the president, but right now I feel like that is a bit of a heavy lift legislatively. I think probably the one area where you might see agreement in the not-too-distant future would be on something along the lines of infrastructure improvement. There isn't a part of the country that I'm aware of that couldn't use some help with roads and bridges, and rail service is another issue. So I would say infrastructure is high on the list. But let us not forget that if the Democrats do take control of the House, they are really going to press very strongly on investigations of this administration with the concerns about Russia being top of mind. So that is going to be one agonizing aspect of Democratic control of the House, if indeed that happens, for the White House. It is going to be facing all kinds of additional scrutiny.
What kind of stocks might we see impacted by, let's say, split Congress Dems have the House, Republicans have the Senate. Maybe even a what-if scenario if the Dems take the Senate or the Republicans keep it all. What kinds of stocks do you think would be impacted by wins in those areas?
Well, just broadly, first of all, Steve, you know, history is on the side of investors following midterm elections. So CFRA has done research to find that the S&P average gain following midterm elections in the 12 months afterward is 17%. And that correlates to the fact that the third year of presidential terms tends to be positive for the market as well. Obviously, there are some headwinds, rising interest rates among them. We've seen, obviously, a lot of volatility lately for the tech sector. Perhaps that area is going to sort of give up the ghost on the leadership of the market, which has been so strong for some time. And then that follows into the question, would there be a potential regulation? It felt as if the president was just sort of throwing around the threat about antitrust, because I think most experts think that it's hard to make the case there. But if you actually saw more restriction on technology, which could involve the privacy issues that we're all concerned about, obviously that would weigh on that sector. Another priority, I think, for the Democrats would be to try to rein in drug prices. So obviously pharmaceutical stocks could come under pressure there, if indeed they're able to follow through on that.
What about bond prices? I've often heard that if the Democrats are successful in at least winning one House of Congress, that would be good news for bond investors.
Well, I mean, I think what you want to do there is think about the strength of the macro economy and the direction of interest rates as dictated by the Federal Reserve. And if there's been one thing that we've harped on for quite some time, the bank rate, it is that the likely trajectory of interest rates is higher for the foreseeable future. And so when yields move up, prices move down, and I would look for that to continue. You know, we're going to have a Fed meeting coming up in 2 days. We'll obviously look for the Fed to stand pat at this meeting, but likely a rate increase coming in December. And then you need basically the U.S. and the global economies to continue to perform well to have, you know, that outlook underscored as well. So we'll hope that that's the case, but, you know, it's very difficult to predict the strength of the economy, let's say, 24 months down the road.
In the worst case scenario, I think, and you know, we hate to repeat the president's tweets on this program, but there was one recently where he said the stock market is going to crash completely if the Democrats win. That would probably be fear-mongering on the far side of this conversation, isn't it?
Well, it's I don't think we want to try to rate the long-term accuracy of such predictions coming from that particular Twitter handle, but you know, I think the market could face a rocky road in the near term if indeed the Dems took control of both houses of Congress. I think most Wall Street observers believe that the best outcome for the near term would be probably a continued gridlock, although my own feeling about that is we actually do have problems in this country that need to be resolved as well.
All right. Mark, good talking with you this morning. Everybody, go out and vote today. We'll talk to you again soon, Mark.
All the best. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Mark Hamrick, a senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Hiring managers are critiquing job applicants before they even set foot in the door for an interview, and they're looking very closely at social media. I thought we would take a little bit of time this morning on the program to talk about the do's and don'ts of maintaining a professional social media presence. Ron Abori is with us this morning, CEO and founder of Chicago-based staffing agency Instant Alliance. Ron, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for being with us. This is going to be a good discussion because a lot of instances recently of where social media has really been a deciding factor in ending somebody's career or even preventing it from getting started. How importantly are these hiring managers looking at social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all of the above?
Yeah, I think it's staggering, right? I would say probably 70, if not more, percent of employers look through your social platforms even before you come in to interview. I think it's the way people brand themselves now, and employers first look into who you are, what you do in your free time, right, and how you present yourself to the world. So I think it's like the most important thing to be professional and kind of think through how you want to present yourself out there, because it could be the difference between getting a job or not getting a job.
Oftentimes we talk about the obvious don'ts of the drunken photographs, the odd, horrible comments, but people are looking for more nuanced things too, aren't they? Your political stance, perhaps, bad-mouthing other employers, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, as today is election day, right? And I think you never know what people's stance is politically. So I always just take, you know, a step back and say, like, be smart about what you're doing. I think you shouldn't take a political stance on politics on your social media network. It's fine if you're going out with friends and want to have that discussion, but you never know who's looking. It could be a client, and they could be supporting one party versus who you actually support. So I think it's just important to be smart about what you're putting out there to the world and what different platforms you're putting it out, right? It might be a little bit different on LinkedIn for you versus a personal network, Instagram, but you have to remember to be consistent across these platforms, and that most likely employers are looking at all three or four platforms to kind of see, is this person consistent? What are they doing on their free time, and how are they spending their time? And is that someone we want to bring into our culture, and do they fit with what we're trying to accomplish as a company? So I think it's very important to make sure that you have the right presence out there in the marketplace.
I often hear from people that this is a lot of work to maintain all of these different social media accounts, and instead of perhaps doing something wrong, they just don't do social media at all. How dangerous is it not to have any social media presence as you're not only out there in a career, but looking for a job as well?
Yeah, I think it's really important that you have presence out there in the marketplace. That's what people are looking at. It's like the new way of looking, instead of having your typical resume, they're looking at one of these platforms almost as your resume. So I think it's really important always to have a profile that is well done, that's finished. And people want to see people and employees that are current and relevant. So are they posting articles or connecting with people that are doing important things in the community? I think it's a big mistake if you don't have one or a couple social networks up. If you're going to just focus on one and you're in the business world, I would say use LinkedIn. Make sure it's complete. Make sure you have really good recommendations from not only coworkers but prior managers, and just get a complete profile. Probably won't take you more than an hour to get that up. And just start connecting with relevant information, and that makes employers excited about you because they want to hire people that are proactive and, you know, have a voice. And another thing, we at our own company often look at these social networks and how people present themselves or write about content. We actually just hired a marketing professional ourselves, and we looked at what kind of content did she connect to. What are her writing skills? How did she write about herself to determine if she was the right person for our company and our culture?
How do we begin if we're going to go back in and try to fix this, if we have problems this morning? What would be your first advice to people about getting their social media accounts in order?
Yeah, I think just start from the beginning, right? Do you have a nice write-up about yourself? Put a good picture of you up that's engaging and happy. I would say go in and clean up any pictures that might be college related that may seem a little wild, and kind of rein it in a little bit with family photos or pictures of friends in a positive light. You know, I think it's always important to look at who you're connected to, who you're tagging. I often think, be careful about who you tag, because we can go and use that strand to continue to look at people and see where your picture might be located on somebody else's profile that's connected to you. And I think just take the basics of making sure your profile looks complete and up to date, is well written, and has really strong content. Maybe those few things are a really good start. And it's hard to maintain social media and, you know, always be putting relevant content up. But I would say try to make a commitment of maybe a couple hours a month to looking at articles or things you're interested in to kind of tag back or connect to your profile so people can see like you're always relevant and researching and looking at new stuff.
For those of us who are out there professionally doing this, LinkedIn is a big one. And it is sometimes can be overwhelming, at least for me. Who do we connect with on LinkedIn? Do we take all of the requests? Do we accept all the requests? Do we look for a job on LinkedIn? Will our current employer know that? How do we behave on LinkedIn especially?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. I think I always look at connect with people that you feel safe with and comfortable with and going to add to you professionally. You know, I think it's important to always like control your settings and look at who's coming into your network, because you never know if you are looking for a job, who is viewing that and monitoring that. I think it's a fine line looking for a job on LinkedIn, and does your employer have access to that at the company? I think you just have to, again, I go back to using good judgment and good lines of thinking. And maybe it's better to write a short message and then connect with them off hours, so at least it's not during the work day. But I think LinkedIn can be a very powerful, positive tool. I think you just have to use it with good discretion, good judgment. But I would say it's like the first thing, me as a CEO, if I'm meeting someone, that's the first platform I go to kind of look at them from a professional manner. And then if I want to kind of delve more into their personal life, I'll go to Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Another tool that I use personally is something called Hootsuite, and it allows me to put a message out to my whole social platform. So all of those different venues, I can kind of write something and it goes across all of them. So maybe it isn't so time consuming that I'm doing each one separately all the time.
That's very good advice. TweetDeck is another one that you can use for that. I have a question about, I bet there are people listening out there have somebody in their network, maybe not necessarily in their own office, who does this really, really well, social media, that is. It's not out of bounds to ask for help in this area, for some recommendations about how to do it well, is it?
Absolutely not. I am always on the internet researching questions. How do you do things better? I know there's even counselors or people you can go to that can help you build your LinkedIn profile so you get more hits. So I'm always reaching, what do I like about what that person's doing, and how can I put my own personal flair onto it? Because it's like your online resume, as I said earlier this morning, and I'm always picking up tips from other people and kind of using it or repurposing it in a way that, you know, suits me and my personality.
In this tight job market, it's interesting to get your perspective as a CEO about this. How can we set ourselves apart from people as we're all competing for these jobs?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the thing that sets us apart, as I said, is how you present yourself, what you're writing. Are you focused on relevant current information? And maybe going a little outside the box and having fun in a professional way with your, you know, social networks. I think people want to find people who are creative, who are kind of ahead of the curve, who take initiative. And I always look at people who are just, you know, instead of that cookie cutter kind of bio, they're talking about something that's a little outside the box that gets me to know them better. And I think employers, the biggest thing is they want people who are engaging and are focused on their industry and knowledgeable and do the research. And I think if you do these things and incorporate them into these social platforms, you're above your competition. And I think employers will take notice of that.
Rana, good tips this morning. Thank you for being with us here on the Opening Bell. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great morning.
You too. Rana Bori is the CEO and founder of Chicago-based staffing agency Instant Alliance, the social media do's and don'ts.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN, Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening losses later on Wall Street. Dow futures down 43 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are off about 0.25% each. Gold and silver are trading higher. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, we get the weekly crop harvest report Monday afternoon, and it showed harvest continued at a pretty good clip last week. Corn harvest, 76% of the U.S. corn acres harvested as of Sunday, and 83% of the soybean acres harvested as of Sunday. Checking some of the states, Illinois, 92% of the soybean crop, Iowa, 88%, Indiana, 87%, Wisconsin, 78%. Corn harvest in Illinois, 93% complete, Iowa, 72%, Indiana, 83%, Wisconsin, 59%. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, November 6th. The Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey for September is due today, otherwise known as JOLTS. Job openings hit a record high of 7.1 million at the end of August. The September report coming today will give us a fresh look into that. Also today, Redbook. We'll see how retail sector is doing with that. Some treasury auctions today as well. Earnings, Eli Lilly and Company, CVS Health, Wendy's, Etsy, GoDaddy, Zillow Group, Match Group, and of course today is midterm election day. The polls here in Illinois open in just a few minutes and are open until 7 o'clock this evening.